All right, welcome back. Twitter, smoking tonight. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurch Radio. And it's Friday night. We've got open lines. And I've also got a couple of really cool Twitter comments that I'm going to read before we get out of here tonight. But have you checked out? I don't know if you've seen this yet. I have. Have you seen this new Loch Ness Monster video that is out? Now, the thing is, it's the second time in the last week that Nessie's been spotted. And this newest sighting was on May 7th, and it was videoed by this gentleman named Rob Jones. And you can hear him in the video with his friends who noticed something strange out. There's a boat that cruises by. You know what? I don't want to give it away. You need to check it out. Now, when he was able to get a closer look, he began filming the scene, and it was multiple witnesses, and you can see everybody in the video, and you can see what's going on. You've got to check it out. The full video is over at coasttocoastam.com. Just go right there to In the News. This is Coast to Coast AM. It's Friday night. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in for George Norrie. More of your phone calls after this short break. Stay with us. All right, welcome back to Coast. Let's go straight back to the phones. At the top, wild card, Rodney in Centennial, Colorado. You're up next, Rodney.
Hey, what's up? How you doing, Jimmy?
I'm doing good, Rodney. What's on your mind tonight?
Well, a long time ago when I was a young kid, 12, 13 years old, back in 75, 76, I was in Colorado, up by Longmont, Colorado. I lived out in the country with my parents and all. And I was riding back one night from my friend's house. And you know, I called my parents, told them, hey, you know, I'm coming home. And so I got on my bicycle, started riding back home. And there's this big hill that on the way home, and it's about 20-minute ride home out in the country, you know, and it was dusk out. And I rode up on top of the hill, and you could see the countryside and everything. And I seen these red lights, and I thought, oh, what's that? And the red lights were like shimmering and bouncing up and down. I'm like, oh, that's got to be a helicopter. And the next thing you know, that thing started coming up, and it was bouncing as it's coming up to me. And it flew right up to me on the hillside. And it was really small silver disc, and it had a window in it. And there was an alien there operating these handles and stuff, trying to, like, keep the ship level, man.
Right.
And I was sitting here amazed, right?
How old were you?
So, I'd say about 12 or 13 years old.
So you were old enough to know the difference between something, you know, alien and a helicopter, right?
Yeah, and, you know, the thing about it was, at the time, I wasn't even thinking about aliens at the time of my age at all, you know. I wasn't even thinking that way. Well, this thing flew up in front of my face, and there was a window there, and this alien, and it wasn't a gray. It wasn't a gray alien like you see on TV. It wasn't like that.
What did he look like?
He had white skin and big eyes.
Right.
And kind of a small nose and a small mouth.
Right.
Big round head, but small body.
How many feet away, Rodney, how many feet away was this craft from you?
Oh, God. Maybe 15, 20 feet.
Yeah, close enough for you to be able to see all of these features, right?
Right, right. Yeah.
Now, how big was that? Now, if it was that close, did this guy turn around and look at you? Did you guys make eye-to-eye contact?
Yeah, we did. It was really intense. And I was sitting on the hill on my bicycle, holding the bicycle handles, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to, I was operating the knobs like I told you, and the thing was kind of bouncing around and shimmering, right? I was going to reach up to wave at him, and he looked right at my hand like he was going to get ready to shoot me or something, and I didn't move. I just stood there and looked at him with my eyes wide open, and I smiled at him.
Did he smile back? Right.
He smiled back. Yeah.
Right.
And then he flew off towards the FA building, over there in Longmont, and then the lights disappeared, and I kind of got scared and went home.
Did you tell
when
your
I got
parents?
Home, I didn't tell them nothing.
Right.
And I didn't tell anybody nothing until almost 10 years ago.
Did any of your neighbors, anybody else, the news, any other reports of anything?
Nothing. Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing.
Well, pretty extraordinary sighting. Rodney, I've had, and there are people right now listening to you right now that know about probably a dozen or a half a dozen other reports very similar to yours. And I find that very, very, very interesting. And also, between Colorado and the West Coast and the Northwest, up into Washington. Very interesting sighting, my friend. And thank you for sharing that with us. And oh, what year was this?
I'd say 75, 76. And the town of Longmont was growing, and we lived at the end of the town.
Right.
Hey, can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
George, I talked to George Norrie about a year ago, and he had Dr. Wabash on there about critical health news. And let me tell you something. I talked to him, and I ordered it, and that's some good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You're talking about Doc Wallach, and yeah, Doc's going to be hanging out with us this week out in Joshua Tree. He's going to be there. So,
yeah, and that's the first time I talked to you, and I think you sound really cool. You're a good guy, and tell everybody I love him out there, you know. But, yeah, that's what happened to me.
Yeah, thank you so much, Rodney, and be safe out there. And, if you've got anything else to say, give us a call. I would love to hear any reports like this. Thank you so much, Rodney, out of Colorado. And with that, let's go to first-time caller line. Let's go to Terry in Dayton. Terry, you're up next.
What's up, my brother?
How you doing, Terry?
I do well. Hey, first off, I want to concur with what Rodney said. I lived in Fort Collins for 20 years, which is
right there. Yep.
But I originally wanted to call about, and it's been a bit, you had a caller earlier that was saying, if there's so many UFO sightings, how come you never see them around populated areas? Do you remember that caller?
Yep, of course.
Well, my theory is they hang out, they come and visit us along ley lines.
Right.
So this goes right along with what Rodney's saying, because there's a cosmic vortex at Red Rocks.
Well, you know what was interesting, really quick, Terry? Doug's or Rodney's sighting, when you have a window and that type of craft where you look in and you see an ET controlling the craft, I have had that exact description from some very credible friends of mine. I mean, not a call. I'm just talking about real witness testimony. And I find it fascinating. I really, really, I haven't had that. You know, I haven't had the window with the ET at the controls, but I've had enough eyewitness testimony about this. It's just fascinating.
Oh, totally. It's like Red Rocks, Sedona, Mount Adams, cosmic vortexes. But anyway, back to the guy that said, how come you never see them in populated areas? I live in southwestern Ohio, and there's a ley line that runs through here. It goes from Evansville through Oxford, Ohio, through Dayton, northeast. And the porthole is supposed to be in Enon, Ohio, which is about 8 miles from where I live.
Mm-hmm.
And you can feel the cosmic energy. We have this nature center. It's called Bruckner Nature Center. We went there for field trips. Like in school, my parents would take us out there hiking and stuff. And even at 10 years old, I can feel the energy. So this would have been about 87, 88. My buddies and I were out there, and you got to have your car out of the parking lot by dusk. So we're driving out, and we got sidetracked and stopped. Two of us were on the hood, two were on top of the car. And as sure as I'm talking to you right now, Jimmy, this big red shaft of light came out of the sky. And I'm serious. The car elevated, it levitated, did a 180, and I don't know how many feet it got off the ground. But then it set back down, and we're like, it blew our minds. And I'm like, we had to sit there for like another half hour and talk about it. Drove back into town, went to the park, and it happened again. We were standing on the levee at the Great Miami River, and that shaft of light came again. And we're like, wow. And again, this is late 80s, before cell phones and Facebook and everything.
Right.
And you know how things are. People go to college, they graduate, they move to different parts of the country. So I've reconnected and I've talked to the other three people that were with me. And I'm like, do you remember this? And they all, to a fine T, remember the details.
Well, this is the other thing, Terry, with that. You live in Dayton. It's Wright Patterson, right?
That's where the aliens are.
No question about it. No question about it. There's a lot of strange stuff. And that's not a small base, right? That takes up like half of the city, right? It's huge.
It is
truly huge. And there is some strange stuff going on out there. There's no question about
it. Area 51 stuff just stored there.
That is right. That is right. And now the ley line, maybe that's why Dayton was, maybe that's why Wright-Patterson was built there, because of the ley line. You never know, right? But
you do not never know about it.
And Terry, thank you so much for that. I was actually out right there in Dayton and Cincinnati a couple of years ago for my brother's wedding. And driving by Wright-Patterson and seeing how big it is. Also, the other thing is over the freeways where, you know, the American flags and all of the signs for Wright-Patterson and the pride that city supports Wright-Patterson. It's extraordinary. But what you do see is the size of the installation. It's not small. And if you're seeing stuff like that over it, I wouldn't doubt that those are connected.
I believe you. So when you were here, did you go to the Air Force Museum?
Absolutely. Oh, I went to the Air Force Museum in the mid-70s. I went out there a couple of times on field trips. Absolutely. It's one of the best museums in the country, actually. There's no question about it. Thank you.
And it's free. Yeah, you and me.
It's absolutely mind-blowing. And the Valkyrie is there, which is so cool. Thank you so much, Terry. And we'll see you tomorrow night.
Hey, one more thing. One more thing, Jimmy.
Sure.
I know you guys do meet and greets, and it's mostly on the West Coast. But if you guys can make your way here, I know you would sell out.
Look, George and I and Tommy and the whole crew here, all we talk about is getting out as much as we can around the country. And certainly we do a lot of stuff on the West Coast, but we do stuff on the East Coast too, and we want to continue to try and do more. So you're absolutely right, Terry, and trust me, we hear you. Thank you so much. Thank you, Terry. Tomorrow night, the 100th anniversary of Fatima, right here with Peter Lavenda. You're not going to want to miss that show. With that, let's continue. Let's go out east really quick before the break. Doug in New York, you're up next on Coast. Did we lose Doug? Okay, then we'll go to Manahari in Oahu. You're up next on Coast. Aloha.
Okay, real quick. You guys, unless I missed it, never got back to Dr. Lear giving us his, he was a kid story and something happened.
Well, I can't share that with you because I'm not Dr. Greer. Sorry about that.
Yeah,
you're right.
Remember, you were going to go back to it when you came back from the break?
That's right. Why, do you know about the story? He's actually told it on a couple of previous interviews that I've done with him, but you're absolutely right. We didn't get back to it tonight.
Yeah, no, I never heard it. In fact, although I've heard about him all these years from way back in Art Bell time, I never actually heard an interview with him. I was a virgin tonight with him, too. You, too, because I've never called you before.
Well, thank you, Manahari. And what'd you think? He's pretty good tonight, wasn't he?
He was amazing, just as amazing as everybody's ever said he was. And real quick, before I got to go, you know the woman with the snake story?
Yes.
It makes sense to me, because tapeworms, you don't need a magnifying glass to see them. They are visible with the naked eye, and if one grows big enough, I can see people mistaking it for a snake.
Yeah, let's hope that we don't. Thank you, Matahari, for the phone call all the way out there in Hawaii. Thank you so much. Let's hope I don't get any more phone calls tonight about snakes or tapeworms in the stomach. Let's stay focused to stuff up in the sky. Yeah, that was pretty freaky. Annie in Alabama. What a nice find. 1864, New York Times article. Pretty cool. All right, let's go to wild card Gary in Centralia, Washington. Gary, you're up next.
Hey, Jimmy, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Gary. What's up? What's on your mind?
Oh, I've been a listener since the Art Bell days. I have something that was an experience. I tried calling a few weeks ago, but was nefariously cut off, I believe. About an experience I had in Quartzsite, Arizona, and would entailed contact with Pleiadians and Andromedans. My dad had passed away the previous month in January. This was February of 2008, and they contacted me and just wanted to dovetail kind of with Stephen Greer that we have mentors here in the Pleiadians and Andromedans that oversee, just basically make sure that we don't, you know, completely annihilate ourselves, but not to interfere with their affairs, sort of like we have to go through the same growing pains as a child that's learning to ride a bike, for example.
Sure, sure. No question about that, Gary.
Get your knees skinned up. You got skin in the game, so to speak.
Right.
But very loving, very kind, very spiritual, and took human form. And they're humanoid, which is about, as they say, about 10% of in the universes, or this universe anyway, are humanoid, and the rest are of different shapes. So basically, they have been at war, and it kind of goes with what Dr. Greer said about intergalactic or extra, I forget the term he used, but a war.
Well, Gary, we're going to be up against a break here in about 15 seconds. Well, so let me ask you this, so I can get you to answer this. What do you think? Do you think we're at war, and do you think that ET is here to help us, or do you think that we need to be worried about something? You've got 10 seconds before we got to go.
We don't have to worry about the Pleiadians. We do have to worry about the Draco's and the Greys, and that's who they're at war with. And on the moon, Mars, and moons of Jupiter, they have been in it for over 10, 11, 12 years now.
Absolutely, Gary, and thank you. No question about that. That is what is on the front of everybody's mind, right? Benevolent, what's really going on? Well, let's find out. More of your phone calls next. This is Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back. And let me just say this. I'm going to go public right now. It don't get no better than Daryl Hall and John Oates. That's it. I'm public. I'm out of the closet. I just said it, and I meant it. This is Coast to Coast AM. I'm your host, Jimmy Church, sitting in tonight for George Norrie, who's taking a well-deserved night off. It's Friday night. I'm going to get straight back to it now. If you enjoyed the show tonight, all you have to do, go to Coast to Coast, look at my name, click on it, and it's going to take you over to my website for Fade to Black. And we broadcast Monday through Thursday for 3 hours live for free. That's it. Everything is cool. It's just there. Plays live radio, and it's right before Coast to Coast. So what you do is you get 3 hours of me, 4 hours of George, every night of the week, and it doesn't get any better than that. You can follow me on Twitter at JChurchRadio. With that, I'm going to get out of here and get back to your phone calls. This is Coast to Coast AM. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. I've got some calls that have been on hold for a very long time, so I'm going to go straight to it. East of the Rockies, Barry, Rock Hills, you're up next.
Hello there, Jimmy. Go Beckley Tepe.
How you doing, Barry? Go Beckley Tepe to you. What's on your mind tonight?
That's going to be the last two words out of your mouth when you sign off tonight.
That's probably, you know what? You know me too well, Barry. Thank you so much for that, though.
Yeah, you're one of the best. I mean it, Jimmy, I mean that. And listen, kudos to my new best friend, Cornelius. Tommy Danhauser gave me his phone number the first of this week. We laughed and cut up for 30 minutes on the phone after I got off the phone with George Norrie. And that Cornelius is full of Bible bullets and beans, and I love him to death.
There you go, Barry. All right, thank you so much. What's on your mind really quick before I jump to another call?
All right, first quick, was by any chance that bumper music about 30 minutes ago, Emerson, Lake, and Palmer?
I have no idea. 30 minutes. Oh, no, that was probably The Who, Behind Blue Eyes.
All right. I knew it was an English band, but I thought it might be ELP. But anyway, talking about Göbekli Tepe.
Yeah.
I try to keep up with it, Jimmy, as much as I can, but I can't read the internet anymore because I'm almost blind. I got macular degeneration. Anyway,
right.
They already have discovered that it's 12 to 14,000 years old at least, but they've only excavated about 20% of it.
That's right.
They're saying, Jimmy, and I don't know what you know about it, but they're saying that that site may be 50,000 years old.
Possibly. Now, before we go to the 50,000-year thing, and Barry, thank you for the phone call, and there's nothing that I want to talk about more than Göbekli Tepe. But before we go to the 50,000-year extreme thing, is the age of Göbekli, first off, it's buried, and they have used ground-penetrating radar, and they know that there is probably between 20 and 25 circles there. That still need to be excavated. There's only 7 or 8 on the top of the hill right now that have been exposed. The question is what's underneath and how old those are. Going back to 50,000 years, we've got a lot of archaeology that's got to happen before we get to those numbers. 12,000 BC or 12,000 years old to 10,000 BC, strong possibility for that. We've done carbon dating on the debris and trash that is there that is accurately dating 10,000 years back to 12,000. Will it get to 50,000? Then we've got some history making and changing events that will happen at that point. Thank you so much for the phone call, Barry. There is nothing more important right now on this planet than Göbekli Tepe. Let's go to Wayne. Wild card up in Chicago. Wayne, you're up next.
Thank you, Jimmy. My favorite host besides George Norrie.
Well, me too.
Let me make this quick because I know you have other callers. I've been thinking, Jimmy, like your guest was talking about the siphoning of trillions of dollars out of our economy.
Yep.
Okay. The Treasury Department prints the currency, the bills, the U.S. Mint prints the coins, but the Federal Reserve controls the money supply.
Right.
And there's one family that has controlled the central banks of the world for centuries, and that's the Rothschild family, who I hardly ever mention.
Right.
So I have a theory. I think that you can't take trillions of dollars out of these central banks without them knowing about it. So they know exactly what's going on. And I also believe that your guest, the people he was talking about who are untouchable, above the Joint Chiefs of Staff, the chairman, I believe those people are hooked up with those Nazis down in Antarctica because, remember, back in June of 52, those Nazis made their power known by flying over Washington, D.C. We didn't even scramble any jets because we knew those jets would have got shot down. So I believe those Nazis down in Antarctica and our people here who are unknowable, untouchable, unseeable, I believe they are working together along with the ETs. What do you think, Jamie?
Well, Wayne, all great points. The missing trillions, which at this point, I mean, when this was first revealed, now, you know, this is funny, this is 2017, so we're looking at 16 years ago, 15 years ago, the missing trillion. Now, today, this number has gone up to 9, 10, 11, 12, $13 trillion now has been thrown around. And you are absolutely right. Part of the issue with that money that's unaccountable is that the Pentagon doesn't get audited. Then that's the bottom line right there. So the Pentagon doesn't get audited, and the money is being pulled out of circulation. Well, you're absolutely right. When it gets spent, it is also back into circulation. So it may be true that the Pentagon can't account for this money because they haven't been audited, but certainly it going out and returning back into circulation, somebody does know that this money has been spent and what it has been spent on. Do you think you and I are going to find out the truth on that? Absolutely not. The question is, what did they spend it on? Did they go to Mars? Is there a secret space program? Are there underground installations? Is there something else that we don't know about? Are there so many black projects out there that it takes, you know, $10 trillion to support them? It's a big mystery. And, you know, that money, this is what's more important, Wayne. Let me drive this thought home, and I want to thank you for the phone call. Let me drive this point home. That money could take care of literally every man, woman, and child on this planet, like, forever, right? Forever. We're talking about a nice home, money, food, health care, education, forever. Forever. That's a lot of money. And how long is forever? Well, you know, $13 trillion, it goes a long way.
Thank you.
Thank you, Wayne. Great phone call from Chi-Town. Let's go out west. Let's jump out west. McKinley, right here in Placer County, California. You're up next.
Hello. Jimmy is the name, huh?
Jimmy is the name, McKinley.
Jimmy, it helps as we get a larger perspective of where we are and how we got here. If we realize that this planet is only about, it's a large number, but not in comparison to the totality of the universe. About 4.5 billion years, and but it formed within a galaxy that is many times larger and older. The Milky Way is over 200,000 light years, whereas our little solar system is only about 1 to 2 light years.
Okay.
But this older galaxy has over 200 to 400 billion suns in that galaxy. And around those suns are worlds. Worlds that are billions of times older, because the Milky Way galaxy actually is far more than 13.7 billion years, as the cosmologists have postulated. When you look at the enormous size of the Milky Way, there's no way in the world it could have formed in 13.7 billion years when our little solar system, it took our little solar system about 5 billion years to form, just one light year in breadth, the solar system. The whole galaxy is 200,000 light years. There's no way in the world it could have formed in only 13.7 billion years. So we're talking about a galaxy that is probably trillions of years in formation. In fact, the Milky Way galaxy is a composite of many other galaxies, the Milky Way itself. It took many millions and billions of years for the Milky Way to coalesce into all of the galaxies that it contains.
McKinley, hold on. Something just struck me right there. So I want to address this with you. When we talk about the universe being 15 to 20 billion years old, right? That's one thing. But to stretch this into a trillion years, now we're talking about a thousand times older than what you than what science is presenting here. Where would you come up with that kind of number? I mean, a trillion years.
Well, of course, that's, we're just talking about our solar system. That doesn't include the 10 trillion other galaxies that are now known to exist within the entire solar system. We're just talking about the Milky Way galaxy. The reason why we can know that it's more than 13.7 or 14 or 19.7, whatever, billion years is because of the size. If you compare the size of this solar system, which is only one to two light years, whereas the entire galaxy is 200 to 400 light years in breadth. And so if it took this little solar system 5 billion years to form, how could the entire 200,000 light year solar galaxy have formed in only 13 billion years?
Well, that's it's certainly an interesting question. Before I let you go, because I want to get a couple of more calls in before the end of the show, but I find it interesting that you have explored this, but it's a pretty big leap to go from 20 billion years for the universe to a trillion years. Now we're talking about a very, very long time, McKinley.
Well, of course, at the time that figure was set, the telescopes were not powerful enough to be able to see the entirety of the universe.
Well, we still can't. We can't.
No, and of course, even the entirety of the Milky Way, the extent of the Milky Way, the breadth and the dimensions of the Milky Way have only recently been known.
With Hubble, they are able to look at these galaxies and measure their speed. Right? The speed of the expansion, and then measure and go back to the origins of the Big Bang, and that's where they come up with this number in billions of years, but not trillions. And I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying that's a pretty big leap to go from a couple of dozen, a couple in billions of years to a trillion.
Well,
that's extreme.
It's also a big leap to go from one galaxy to 10 trillion galaxies, which the entire universe is comprised of. It's only recently that we've had this kind of observational capacity to know this.
Well, McKinley,
we haven't updated. See, it's a matter of lagging behind in updating what you're observing.
But that's a whole lot of ET out there, isn't it?
Well, definitely, of course.
Yeah, exactly.
There are trillions of worlds out there, and not only that, but there are worlds that are billions of years in advance of this new kid on the block.
Certainly. Did you just say new kid on the block? Tommy, did you hear that? That was for you. Anyway, we've been talking about that for the last half hour. That is one of the best points that anybody could make, is that, we're 4.5 billion years old here. And if we've made these kind of advances that we've had on planet Earth in the last 5,000 years, since 3000 BC, since the pyramids were built, to this point here and now, think about somebody that's a billion years more advanced than us. Would we even be able to, McKinley, relate to them or even know or talk or see?
Well, and they may not even be able to be seen because they're in a different dimension.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly my point.
What's actually holding the galaxies, the dark energy and the dark matter that's holding the galaxies and keeping them orbiting in a systematic and stable manner cannot be seen. The things that are really advanced, even gravity was here before this solar system formed. You still can't see gravity. It doesn't mean it doesn't exist, but it is the over-controlling aspects of reality that cannot be seen, but are obviously in existence.
Do you have a telescope, McKinley?
Pardon?
Do you have a telescope?
No, I don't have a telescope.
Oh, you should get one. You should get one.
I need to get one, yeah. I need to be in a place where I can actually see the stars as well.
I want to thank you for the phone call, and it's very interesting how you've played this out. The thing is, at least with me, McKinley, is when we look at, and this is the point that you brought up, I think is probably the most important. Just up, and I was listening to an interview that was about 7 or 8 years old, where they were talking about 20 exoplanets being found in our solar system, right? 20, not in our solar, in our galaxy, 20 exoplanets. And think about where we are today, where we are now getting into the thousands of confirmed exoplanets. And once we have confirmed those, I think it's going to be an order of magnitude of confirmations where we are going to very quickly here get into the tens of thousands of planets that we are going to be able to confirm just right here. Think about that for a second. And with that, I want to thank Dr. Stephen Greer. Amazing conversation. Go check out his new film, Unacknowledged. Dr. Greer, myself, Tommy, George, we're all going to be out of contact in the desert this week. Come and hang out with all of us, and I will see everybody here tomorrow night on Coast to Coast, 100th anniversary of Fatima with Peter Lavenda right here. And I want to thank Nathan, Tom, Chris, Lisa, Stephanie, Lex, Sean, and, of course, George Norrie. I'm your host, Jimmy Church. This has been Coast to Coast AM. Go Beckley Tappy.